This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you, yeah you in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9. Tess, we've got one of our very favourite guests, not just with us, but with our listeners, Adele Ferguson. Good morning, Adele. How are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Not too bad. A bit of hesitation there, Adele. Tell us why a bit of hesitation, or are you just over it like all of us?
Oh, I think I'm a bit over it, and I had my second jab on Thursday night, so I'm still feeling a little bit battered around today.
Okay, I had shocking side effects after my first jab, and absolutely no side effects after my second. So I think it varies from
lucky
person
you.
To person. Yeah, oh no, but I was pretty crook for about 3 days.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Have you heard the numbers for New South Wales today?
I can't, but yeah, it's unbelievable. 465 and still no stage 4 lockdown across the state. It just beggars belief.
It does, doesn't it?
It's like a slow train wreck almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Keep going.
It's a very long train, Tess. A carriage comes off at the front and they don't know at the end.
I mean, we could talk about the economic impact of all this.
But look, we will if we get the chance. There's a couple of issues and that I know Adele wants to talk about and I want to talk about. And I want to start off, Adele, Andrew Forrest and salmon. Now, I actually wrote to Andrew Forrest this week. I'm a shareholder in Fortescue Metals, congratulating him on what he's attempting to do to make that in his industry, that company, carbon neutral, but also what he's doing with regards to salmon. And I think this is a really interesting story because the people he's going up against, I wouldn't put at the top of the corporate
Adele,
pile.
Adele, give us a quick snapshot on what is going on, first of all.
Tell us what's happening there.
Okay. So the company is called Huon Aquaculture. It's one of the biggest salmon businesses in Australia. It's listed on the stock exchange. And what happened was, in June, Andrew Forrest decided to take, I think it was a 7% stake in this, because, not for an investment, but really more to make sure that they are doing the right thing with the environment and animal husbandry, because there's been a lot of talk. In fact, author Richard Flanagan had written a book on what's going on in Tasmania with the salmon industry, where they're feeding the salmon chicken beaks, carcinogens, you know, so it's really bad, you know, what they're doing to the salmon and also to the environment. So he wanted to take a stake so he could kind of influence what they're doing. And then woe betide, a company called JBS came in and made a takeover bid. So they went to the biggest shareholders, who own 53%, and said, we want to buy it. And what's so interesting about JBS is they're the biggest meat processing giant in the world. They're based in Brazil. And the Batista brothers, who own JBS, have been in prison for political corruption. And, you know, recently there was a big cyber attack on them. And they're the biggest meat processing company in Australia. So they've, you know, they've bought a whole stack of things here as well. The Foreign Investment Review Board has allowed them to buy this. They're currently at this moment trying to buy one of the biggest pork processing companies in Australia, Rivalea, for $175 million. And the ACCC is looking at them. So they're a really interesting company because they've just been dogged with, you know, really questionable corporate governance that's landed two of the brothers in jail. And well, now they're going after the salmon business.
No pun intended, but it all sounds a bit fishy to me.
Well, it does. And interestingly, I'll tell you this just quickly. Overnight, the chair of the Senate for Foreign Relations in the United States wrote a letter to Janet Yellen requesting an inquiry to go on.
Chairman of the Federal Reserve.
In the United States.
Mm.
No, the Chairman of Foreign Relations Committee, so yes. One of the parliamentary committees in the US, wrote to Janet Yellen requesting a committee on foreign investment in the United States to look at JBS because, and what they're saying, I'll quote you what they're saying, when foreign companies benefit from corrupt practices and spread them to US markets, they jeopardise our economic security, present direct risk to our businesses and undermine our efforts to fight corruption abroad. So please investigate JBS. And as I said, it's just interesting that here we've got a stoush going on with, you know, Andrew Forrest has now upped his ante after finding out about JBS to 18.5% to try and get a blocking stake. Mm. So, yeah, it's all very fascinating.
And it's interesting too, Adele, when you look at the trading volumes, they're not very high, so it's a fairly tightly held stock, obviously. But it doesn't... Yes. So what Andrew Forrest is trying to do is he particularly... Look, you know, at the end of the day, he's got his eye on the dollar. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But he also has his eye on, well, you know, if we want to eat more sustainably produced food, then we have to change the way we do it. And he's made some pretty strong comments about some of the practices that he wants to fix. So his focus is, yes, he wants to fix those practices, but also, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, he wants to make a buck out of it. But JBS, if we're going to look at their history, they're only focused on the dollars. They're not the slightest bit interested in sustainable production. But apparently, you know, they get on well with politicians from time to time.
Yeah, so, you know, they would, you know, they've put out statements saying that they've got great business practices in Australia. We don't really know because they're not listed here. We can't really see what they're up to. What we do know is, you know, it's never good when you've got a company that really has such a stranglehold on such important businesses like, you know, meat. And you saw that with the cyber attack on JBS. It really brought, you know, America to its knees because they depend on JBS as one of the biggest. And, you know, it really shows that you've just got to be really careful when you've got a company just buying up such important businesses.
But hang on, what's the government's position on this, Adele? Has the Foreign Investment Review Board, have they approved JBS's potential takeover?
Not so far for Rivalea, which is the pork business that they announced a takeover offer for it in June this year. So that's still, the ACCC are now looking at that to see whether it's anti-competitive. And you've got all the, you know, pork producers are screaming that, you know, it'd be terrible for this to happen. And we haven't heard a peep out of FIRB yet. You know, Foreign Investment Review Board has been known in the past to be very weak. They tend to just rubber stamp things. So we can only hope that they do a better job this time.
So speaking about government work and government changes, I believe that there were some changes made by the Treasurer just during the course of this week around changing the bar jump around class actions. Can you talk to us a bit about that development?
Yeah.
Please,
yeah,
Adele.
Absolutely. So it's continuous disclosure rules. So companies listed on the stock exchange have to, when anything significant happens, they have to announce it to the stock exchange so that investors know what's going on.
Yes.
You know, we've seen so many times when they don't do that. And when they don't and the share price tanks, class action law firms pile in and, you know, take action against the company, and, you know, it gets distributed to some of the shareholders that had missed out or got dubbed. What the government did was last year during COVID, they called for a halt to continuous disclosure regime, saying that companies, you know, are struggling because of COVID crisis, so they really, you know, back off.
That was meant to be a temporary measure, wasn't it? A temporary measure.
It was meant to be a temporary measure, and even as a temporary measure, it was terrible. But what they have done, on Monday, they managed to get through permanently, because previously Pauline Hanson had been saying, no, this would make directors virtually immune from civil litigation, but she changed her mind for some unknown reason, and they managed to get this through. So it's now permanent, so it means that it will be left up to ASIC to issue infringement notices. That's the best
ASIC. Oh, well, I'm sure that, you know, people are really going to be terrified of ASIC getting on the job.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the thing, because even ASIC actually said this is not a good thing. They put in a submission to the government saying, you know, keep continuous disclosure rules as they are, because you need it for protection of investors. Now we don't have it, which is, I think it's really a disturbing
thing that's happening. So what here. It means, Adele, is if there's an adverse change to a company's environment in which they're operating that is going to have a material effect on profits or the share price, the tripwire for them to report this is actually being made, you know, a lot harder for companies to actually be required to report that. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's a higher standard of proof. So if they don't do it, you've got to prove that they did it with knowledge, they were reckless, or it was negligence. You know, so companies can now argue the honest idiot defence, basically. So it just makes the bar so hard. You know, what had happened was directors have been complaining for years about these terrible class action law firms who are just, you know, bringing, you know, the economy to its knees, and they can't function properly because of them, making out that, you know, every minute of the day there's a class action lawsuit in the wings, when in actual fact, there were 82 class actions between 2002 and 2018. So it's the total furphy. It just makes it much easier for directors not to disclose things to investors in a timely fashion.
And, you know, there are examples of companies that do the right thing that actually are very transparent and very regular in their communications. Some of the invested funds, something like Wilson Asset Management, they're very proactive. And in fact, you know, Jeff is a strong advocate. We should ask, if you ask Jeff what he thinks about this, I'm sure he'd have something to say.
Jeff Homemaker?
Jeff Wilson.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't know what his thoughts on it, but I would think a lot of people who are in the investment market would prefer to have, you know, transparency, you know, because what I'm saying is it doesn't necessarily lead to class actions, but just the threat of legal action also helps ASIC, you know, because, you know, one of their arguments why we need to keep this at bay is if there's a threat of court action, then companies will disclose to the market. If they don't have to have that higher standard of proof, then they won't do it.
Yeah.
Now, and some companies absolutely will. You've got some companies that have got really good directors and boards and they do the right thing. But, you know, you could argue, look at Nuix, which I've been following.
Oh.
Nuix, their price fell 76% between December and May when, you know, it listed. They can get away scot-free on this and
they
just
did.
Say it was the honest idiot defence. You know, that's the thing.
I would say, Adele, you know, when you go into Bunnings and you go down one section of the store where the poison is, and the poison is very clearly labelled and there are regulations around that and no one would say, oh, well, we need to relax the law on poisons. But apparently, the Treasurer thinks that financial poison, you actually need to reduce the warning. People can make their decision, but you don't need to actually warn them. They don't need to know this stuff.
It is crazy. It's the Institute of Company Directors, the Business Council have always been lobbying governments for years about this.
Mm.
And they've now finally got a treasurer who has listened and embraced it and brought it in.
What is the public good? Now, we've got a...
How many more bad decisions can be made, Macca?
It's actually about accountability. And what this does is that it makes the directors of the company less accountable, because if they don't need to tell you when something bad is going to happen, how can you hold them to account? And then to actually make it more difficult for class actions to be brought, what that actually says is, you know, this is the wild, wild west. Now, you're going to love this, Adele, we had a listener, Jeff Wilson, ha-ha. Why not go straight to Tim Wilson? Tim Wilson and Jeff Wilson are very different people. Okay. So, thanks, Adele.
Always great to speak with you.
These are important. These are important issues, and people need to understand this is actually about accountability, and it's about transparency in the business world. And Adele does that better than any. Do you get a bit of a look in on Monday night on 60 years of Four Corners, Adele? I think I saw your face flash up on one of the promos.
Yes, you did. So I think that ad that you're talking about, the 45-second promotion, it looks at across 60 years of Four Corners. And I was thrilled to see 7-Eleven got a flash and so did Commonwealth Bank.
I know.
So, yes.
Well done.
So I'm looking forward to the show on Monday night.
I am.
Thank you.
And look, I hope the after effects of your second jab decline very quickly over the next couple of days, Adele. I had the same. I had mine on Thursday. I felt a bit average. I actually felt like a company director that didn't have to disclose anything. So thanks for your work. Thanks for making the time. We look forward to speaking to you again in a few weeks, and have a lovely day within the constraints of the rules.
Yes.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
All the best. That was Adele Ferguson, who's a Fairfax journalist, Macca.
Walkley Award winner.
Walkley Award winner.
A fearless journalist.
And a great friend of ours.
She is a great friend of the show.
Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.